Roger Bannister running the 4-minute mile. Mm-hmm. Well, he is rather bombastic. And we were in Santa Barbara with the award winners at the Bilbo Hotel, mm-hmm. and he's 10 years younger than I, so he challenged me to a 1-mile race. Uh-huh. Boy, did I beat him hands down.
Yeah, you haven't heard the whole story. I was just starting to run, and I didn't know that he had been running for 10 years.
He reminds me of Hank Trista. You know. Anyway, so I beat him. But listen carefully, he has beat me at investing.
Wow.
I don't mean to embarrass him, well, he's beyond embarrassment, but he's now a multimillionaire. And he started off with nothing. Okay? Now, the reason I have Mr. Patty up here, Douglas, these two are great friends, joined at the hip. And I had the opportunity of meeting Doug less than 2 years ago, and he's been a mentor to me and our company through a very difficult time. Fantastic banking background, owned his own bank at one time. And he's come on board. You know, Murray Wolf's had a series of health problems. So Murray's working Monday through Thursday, and Doug is our key person on Friday to be the troubleshooter. I thought I was good at negotiations until I met a master of negotiations, and I'm talking about Doug. Wow. But I want Doug to introduce Mike this morning. So let's give them both a round of applause. Wow. I'm going to turn him on.
Hi, folks. My name is Doug Patty. I just want to share something with you. About 3 weeks ago, I got the surprise of my life. I had a colonoscopy, and I think most of you know what that is. The doctor calls me up, and he says, "Come in, Doug. I need to talk to you." So I said, "Oh, my God. What's this about?" So I go in there, and he says, smiling on his face, he says, "You have colon cancer, and you need to have an operation right away. You have a tumor, and we're going to have to remove part of your colon." And I said to myself, "Oh, my God." A week ago today, I was in the hospital having this operation. A week ago today.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible.
Okay? All right. The good news on all this is that I'm out of the hospital, and I'm cancer-free.
All right.
Very emotional issue. Yeah. But I'm not up here to talk about that. I don't introduce people very often. I was chairman of the board of the largest bank in Southern California for many years. I built roughly 1,000 homes here in Orange County. Been involved in professional football. Owned a couple of Century 21 franchises when I was younger. Blah, 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 blah. But that's not why I'm here, to talk about how great I am or not so great. But I have the privilege today. You know, a lot of motivation speakers come and they always tell you about do this, do this, do this, and you'll be successful. Have you ever asked them one question? What have they done? Other than make money. You watch the television program, and they're selling, invest in flipper homes, and do this, and do that, and do this. And most of the time, these guys have never done it, the ladies have never done anything. But they are great speakers. Well, this is a real honor for me today. This individual here is the real deal. Let me tell you about Mr. Cherney. First of all, besides being a Hall of Fame athlete, this individual, that's the true story, this individual is a self-made multimillionaire. I personally have invested with him in over 150 properties in the last couple of years. Never lost a dime on one. Never lost a dime on one. If you listen to him, you will learn. If you just blow off what he has to say, then God help you. It's just that simple. He's a total success. Great friend. Michael Cherney.
I guess it helps when you pick them up and you bring them to the breakfast. Congratulations, your competition will be getting up in about a half an hour. Okay. You know, I spoke to this group or a group organization about 25 years ago, and Bruce was so impressed that he's decided to have me back 25 years later. But I am working on my next speech, which will take place 25 years from now. I think it'll have to do with how to make living from an assisted home with several nurses around you or something like that. So don't miss that one when it comes, okay? You know, markets are different. This market that you're in right now isn't going to last very long. Don't get used to it. Mm. All cash buys aren't going to take place very much longer. Mm. Interest rates will go up a little bit. Prices will go up a little bit. The investors will start to back off. And then you'll be taking out your buyers, and they'll be probably having 20 to 25 houses to choose from. Mm. That's a normal market, not this one.
Right.
You know, I'm going to go back and tell you some things that I learned when I first started. I think that have more meaning. Real estate agents are different. Not everybody learns the same way. Not everybody has the same makeup. I played golf the other day. I played with a pro. He told me something that I have been doing wrong for 40 years. I heard it in a different way, and I changed. So change is possible. You know, not everybody is a born salesman. Bruce is a born salesman. I'm sure when the rest of us were having sex dreams, Bruce was thinking about three more closes he could do on maybe this is why I get invited back every 25 minutes. But you know, buyers are different too. I was taking out buyers when I first got in the market, and some of them would not say a word to you. Some of them would like everything and buy nothing. Some of them would absolutely not communicate with you no matter what you did. I didn't like the business. I wasn't very good at it. I think, you know, it's interesting where you fit on this board here. I had always been taught by my parents to, number one, don't talk to strangers, and number two, don't get personal. Well, Bruce is teaching me, and he's telling me to talk to strangers. And by the way, buying a house is a pretty personal thing. What are your finances? What are your qualifications? What do you like? What do you not like? It felt awkward to me. I didn't like it. I didn't like it when people didn't show up for their appointments. I didn't like it when they did. I can remember being in a parking lot one time and having people be 15 minutes late, and Bruce told me never to wait longer than 15 minutes, so I was more than happy to leave. And I left the back way so I wouldn't run into them. You know? So I didn't like it when they were in my car. I didn't like it when I got back to the office. I was in the parking lot after showing some properties, and I was supposed to walk them into the office into a closing room. I felt uncomfortable with it. I didn't like it when they would follow me in, and I had to reach in a drawer for deposit receipts, which we used at that time. I would have many conversations in closing rooms that I was exactly who you described here. We'd talk about the kids, Little League, everything in the world. I'd never get around to asking them a closing question, and then they'd go. I couldn't understand how some people were selling two houses in a day and feeling refreshed, and I was exhausted being turned down on one. I looked at this business and I said, how am I going to exist in this business? I don't like the process, and it seemed like an ordeal. We would show two or three properties a day to different people, and I would go out, and I would pitch my heart out, but I would be exhausted. And I said, 40 more years of this? And so I had some choices to make. You know, real estate hasn't changed in 40 years. Some of the methods have changed, the computers, but it's still talking to a buyer, making a decision, and making a close, okay? I had a choice to make a long time ago with the way I was feeling about the business, and the choice was to either, number one, get out of the business, change my personality, or develop some sort of a system that would get me over all of my things that I didn't really, really feel comfortable with. I started thinking about buyers. You know, buyers are also going through a real hard time. Most of the time you're selling one, they don't have a home and they need one, or they have a house that's become too small, or they have a marriage, or they have a separation, or they have a job transfer. There's a lot of turmoil. And, you know, just because we sell houses all the time, they're going through this maybe once every 7-10 years. I decided to try and make it easier for them as well. So if I was selling a home, I would call them the night before, and I would tell them what to expect. Doug, when you had your medical problem, hearing what the problem was one thing. Not knowing what the problem was probably worse than hearing. So I think you find the unknown is the thing that people really, really fear, and it makes them feel uncomfortable. So I would call them up, and I would say to them the following. Tomorrow when you come down to my office, although I don't think they should come down to my office, I think we should go out to their home. You know, I mean, let me just extrapolate on that just a little bit. I have sold quite a few doctors' properties. One time I was out looking for a doctor. I looked at 20 orthopedic surgeons. I looked at 20 homes, and I couldn't think that one of them would possibly be good enough for this particular man. I drove out to his house to tell him that I had failed. I didn't have a property for him. And when I saw his house and the way he lived, 19 of them were just So I think going out to people's houses are a really nice way to do some service. Plus, it's a way for you to also learn what they like and what they don't like. But anyway, if you're coming down to the office, when you come down to my office, we're going to play a little game. I've looked at 10 houses. I'm going to show you 4 of them. And I don't want to be one of these agents who just tells you what he thinks you want to hear. So I'm going to put in an envelope the 4 houses that I like in the order that I like them. I'm going to give you the envelope, and I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. You're going to see the houses. All I'm going to ask you to do is put them in order, 1, 2, the one you like the best, and give me 3 or 4 reasons that you like that house. What have I done? I've told them exactly what's going to happen. I told them we're going to have a game. There's no more fear. They're not going to be pushed. I've also made a commitment to tell them what I thought, but not in a pushy manner. And I've also made an appointment that when we go back to the office, we've made an appointment already to go into the room and open these envelopes and talk about what? Real estate. So I'm not talking about Little League anymore. I don't have to worry about trying to get them in from the parking lot. We've already made all of these commitments. Earlier today, I started a mock sale. There are 2 people out here that I gave 4 houses to. I want you to pretend that they came down to my office, we got in a car, and we went out and we saw these 4 houses, okay? I asked Vincent, I don't know your name?
Alex.
I asked both of them to take a look at the 4 houses, put them in the order that they liked, especially number 1 and number 2, and to give me 3 or 4 reasons why they did that, okay? I also gave them an envelope of mine, which I handed to them with my commitment. Vincent, why don't you open, what were our choices?
My choices?
Yeah, what were your choices? What were your wrong choices, Vincent?
My wrong choices. I can hardly see this MLS sheet, by the way, but I did the best. My first choice was B.
B, okay. Did you give me a couple reasons why?
I just liked that one because, let's see. It was a single story, first of all. The other 2 were two-story.
Single story is best for you?
Yes.
Okay.
I like the location of where it was and the curb appeal. I like the double doors, and my wife wanted double doors, so I thought that's good. So
okay.
My first choice. And then second choice was the next single-story house.
Okay, I don't care about the second choice.
Okay.
Let's talk about the first choice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. Why don't you open my envelope and see if you were right?
Okay. And the envelope can crumble, please.
Yeah.
He says, I like D, C, B, A.
How come you were wrong?
Boy, I guess because you wrote this, but
you're going to have to convince me a little bit more.
Vincent. Why was D? What was D? Let's look at D. D was a 2-story. You never asked me if I wanted a single story.
But you want a single story, is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay, you win, Vincent. We'll sell you a number of feet. All right. We're in a room, and now what's happening? I'm not selling at all. Vincent is selling, okay? As a matter of fact, if you look at the headline of the little thing, which is how to get your buyers to do the work for you, am I selling Vincent? Vincent's selling me. He's selling me on what's important to him. I have had some of the strangest responses here. I've had one guy bought a house on his list. He put it in there because I have a coin collection. There's a little alcove in a garage. Maybe she'll let me have that, okay? I've had my AA sponsor lives a block over. My babysitter lives over. Bus stops. How long do you think you're going to be there trying to figure out why people like a house? By the way, on my list that I chose D, what reasons did I give you?
You didn't give me any reasons.
My reasons don't care. They don't matter.
Right.
Okay?
That's right.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Most of the time when we're out selling, we're selling on the reasons that we see and we like. Okay? They don't matter. We don't know their life and the way the house fits in. What were your choices?
My choice was FOB.
Paul, you and Vincent should move in. And what was my...
The yours? Yours was A.
Well, there's another mistake, huh? Now, same houses. Now I like A, I like the D over here. What difference does it matter? Okay? What were your reasons?
The view, the window, and then the doors, and then also the location of the house.
Well, how did you miss those? Okay. You see how you start to get reasons that are important to somebody else? Again, I gave you no reasons on my thing at all, okay? And it's just a way of, I could sell property all day long this way. I'm not pressurizing anybody. Let's say that they didn't like any of the houses. Have I put the pressure on them that they don't want to have another meeting with me?
Nope.
All we did is play a game. What are we going to do the next time? We're going to play another game. Maybe we came closer this time. I'm glad you liked it, you know, but we'll just figure out another way. So we were selling a lot of houses back in those days, and we were showing people 3 and 4 times a day. I was going home refreshed. I wasn't pitching anymore. I didn't have to worry. I knew it was going to happen, okay? There's a mock sale for you that takes place in this exact same way as if I would have put them in the car and driven them around and shown them the property. We made little appointments, little commitments along the way of what was going to happen without any surprises. You don't have to do that today. There's one house out there. Do you want to buy it? Okay? You'll have to do it pretty soon because things will change. In addition, you know, I use this method to sell apartment buildings. I use this method to find out what movie my wife wants to go to, okay? You know, where she wants to go for dinner. I've used this method for 40 years. I don't have to use it when I get my referrals from people coming back to me and things like that. I feel comfortable with them. They know me and stuff like that. You can use it on new people. You can use it on hard people. You can use it on all people, or you don't have to use it at all. Maybe you're blessed like Bruce. Bruce doesn't have to use this method. You know, if you have that blessing, but remember there are 4 quadrants up here and I don't know where you fit. So if you fit in one that it's not comfortable, that you don't like the Mike Ferry, that you don't like the you know, pounding and the asking questions and the scripts, you don't need to have that to be successful. You know, I wanted to take, I shorten this quite a bit because you guys have some real talkers in your company, okay? Why are you laughing?
I'd like to be one.
Right.
You know, I wanted to give you just a little bit of advice, too. Pass this method. Anybody wants to talk about this method, I'm always available to talk to you, show you whatever you need, okay? So you can always feel free to call. But I wanted to say things that, some of the things I'm going to say to you, I think what makes a difference between being successful and not being successful. You know, we all think that our prospecting has to be knocking on doors. Your prospecting should be with every person that you meet. Mm-hmm. You need to learn to speak first. You wear your little signs up here about your company, and you put your signs on your cards. Why do you do that?
To start a conversation.
People will ask you to start a conversation, to hope that somebody comes up and starts a conversation with you. Best of luck, okay? It'll happen now and then, and you'll hear somebody made a sale off of your tag. I think you better start having the conversation first. I saw this pretty lady in a purple outfit back here. I said, really nice color, you know? The girl in the bank, sometimes she doesn't even look up. Now, every bank you go in, what happens with every teller that you talk to? How was your weekend? You know, they're all being drilled in there that they have to have the conversations with you, okay? Reason being that there's a lot of competition now. So start to have conversation. Nobody is better than that than Doug Patty. His idea of fun is to go to a hotel lobby and talk to people. Strange. But, you know, if you start conversations, first of all, speak first and speak often. And speak nicely. For example, if you're in a Lexus dealership getting your car fixed, the comment shouldn't be, what a piece of crap this car is, to the person you're talking to. I've had a lot of luck with my car. How's yours doing? One of the things that I did for I don't know how many years is everywhere I went, I carried this. Do you recognize this?
Yeah.
What is it?
Sign writer.
Do you think the public recognizes this?
Yes.
Yeah.
What does this sign say?
Success. Yeah, that's it.
It doesn't say for sale. For sale says hope. Mm-hmm. Okay? It says success. Now, what do I want to do? Who do I want to talk to? You with a sign over there telling me you're in the business? Or me with a sign over here telling me that I'm successful in the business?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've carried it into bars. I put it in my shopping cart. I carry it into restaurants and sit it on a table.
That's great.
I'm going to offer $10 here tonight, today, right now, to anybody that can tell me as I carry this around. Because, you know, as a matter of fact, I start conversations like this. I see you looking at my soul sign. Are you wondering? Are you wondering? Are you wondering what we sold? You know, it's a way to start conversations, okay? Yeah, we really got lucky. Boy, the market's really going good. You see many of these in your neighborhood now? It's just a way of starting conversations, and it's a way of starting conversation about real estate, okay? Here's the $10 offer. Somebody come up with a question that I have never been asked before as I carry the sign.
What's the guy's name that's smiling on the sign?
A real question.
That's not a $10. Okay, let me, go ahead. That smile doesn't count. But
how
much did you go for?
Oh.
How many, why do you have six holes?
Nope.
Six.
How long did it take you to sell?
What is the acronym of this whole sign?
No.
Why are you carrying the sign?
I owe you $10. I've carried this in the strangest places in the world, and I've never been asked by anybody, why are you carrying that in your cart?
Really.
You know, why are you carrying this over here? You know, how come you have that sign in the bar? You know, I've never been asked. I owe you $10.
Thank you.
I promise you guys this, if you'll start today, just speak first, speak often, speak nicely, your whole business will change because everybody
right.
out here, and when you speak to them and you have a conversation with somebody, the next question becomes, boy, I'm really, I'd really like to keep you informed of what's going on. Here's my business card. You have any problem with me putting you on my email list and sending you my newsletter? You will build that list like crazy, and, you know, and go into the bank. You know, if you have nice tellers there, go in one day and bring four pizzas. Just give them to the manager, say it with your card. Just be creative and start looking at the world a little differently. Don't do what everybody else is doing.
I got a 20.
You know, for example, Vincent and I were talking about that one comment that was made in here about all cash buyers. You know how we've gotten around it? We have established a pool of money, and if we have somebody who wants to buy a condo or a house, we buy it all cash, and then we sell it to the person, and he goes and gets financing.
Wow.
We charge him for our money, okay? But the reason that he can't, even if he had all cash, this is the trouble with all cash today. If you buy something all cash, and then you want to put a loan on it, the lenders won't let you take your money back out. So how do you get around it? Same way I did it with these people. I don't like working with people. I found a way around it. Find way around things. Get a pool of money. Everybody throw in $20,000, whatever you need. Get a group together. Buy the thing for cash, then sell it to the person. They get a loan, and they're that way. Because are you tired of having your financing offers turned down? Going to keep banging your head against the wall? Or are you going to change? Thanks for letting me be here today, and I'll see you guys in about 25
years. Did you want to tell the inside the story about this foot race we had?
I was ahead of the halfway. You should have seen his face, by the way. We turned into the wind.
Was this terrific or what?
Yeah.